All right, so we're going into NTI, 1 John, chapter 4. And I have that on page 447. How about you guys?
448.
448 in the paperback. All right. Dear child, I have already told you that the work to be done is the sorting of thoughts. This includes the sorting of beliefs, of feelings, beliefs, and images. We really are in a very advanced part of NTI, if you guys haven't noticed. It's kind of like up until Acts is what I call beginning NTI. And then starting with Galatians, and I don't know where, somewhere around Hebrews, James, you know, it starts to shift. But by the time we get into 1 John, we're into advanced. So some, you know, in the middle there is, I call it intermediate NTI, and then somewhere it shifts into advanced. And when we were in beginning NTI, we were being taught that our thinking is the problem, and that what we need to do is we need to learn the difference between our ego thought system and the Holy Spirit thought system, learn not to believe the ego thoughts, and learn to embrace and contemplate the Holy Spirit thoughts. And that's the beginning level NTI. But what this is now saying is, you know, it's really not just your thoughts. It's everything. Every manifestation, a thought is a manifestation, a feeling is a manifestation, form is manifestation. Every manifestation either comes from the ego or the Holy Spirit in the language of NTI in the Course. Or said again, if we don't use that language, everything that we sense, feel, or think comes from a reflection of truth, or it's a non-reflection of truth. And so now we've been sorting thoughts for a while, you know, as NTI students, and now it's time to really start sorting everything, including the images, including the feelings, and really just seeing everything as true or not true, or a reflection of truth, more than true, a reflection of truth or not a reflection of truth. So again, dear child, I have already told you that the work to be done is the sorting of thoughts. This includes the sorting of feelings, beliefs, and images. Everything that you experience within the dream of the world comes from one of two sources: the thinking mind, which is the mask of separation, or the Holy Spirit, which is the true desire of the heart. So this is interesting also because it says everything comes from the thinking mind, which means, just like we saw last week, it can't be limiting the thinking mind to the little bitty individual. The thinking mind here is a divine process. I think the thinking mind and the process of creation are actually synonymous. So, and everything that we experience comes from the thinking mind or the Holy Spirit, which is the true desire of the heart. Here, this would be the true desire of the One, right? And we have seen in NTI before that it tells us everyone has the same true desire. Even, you know, the people that we think don't, right? They're not at all interested in spirituality. The truth is they have the same true desire in them. And, you know, they may not word it the same, but they all want the same thing. They want to be consistently happy. They want to feel consistently safe. You know, everybody wants the same thing, and that all comes from the same true desire, which is wanting to remember and know ourself. So everything in the world, everything that we experience, everything we sense, everything that seems to be within inside of us, feelings and thoughts and beliefs, everything is being created by one process of creation, and it's either reflecting truth or it's reflecting non-truth. And that's happening all of the time. And so, for example, when we look at NTI as a book, I mean, that's form. But if you had to label it as reflecting truth or reflecting non-truth, how would you label it? Truth. Yeah, it's a reflection of truth in the world. But if we look at, today I saw some millionaire son, a realty guy, who is being accused of having killed his wife in the 1980s, his best friend in 2000, and his neighbor since then, right? You guys know the story I'm talking about? Okay, is that a reflection of truth or not truth?
Not truth.
Not truth. Yeah, that's the way we're to look at everything. And when you look at something like that and you call it, you just say, that's a reflection of not truth, you're not judging the guy. You see, you're not judging the guy in whatever way that you would judge that story if you're thinking of it with your normal human mind. When you look at everything, it's either a reflection of truth or it's not a reflection of truth. Done. And that's discernment rather than judgment. And so that's what this is telling us. Every single image, every single belief, every single thought, every single feeling is a reflection of truth or not truth. You mentioned that you were practicing beingness this week, and you said that what you noticed was you felt happy. What is that? Truth or not truth? Which reflection? Okay. Let's say your mom is yelling at you in the middle of the night. And, you know, she doesn't really want anything. You've checked on her. You go back to bed. She's yelling at you again. You check on her. She doesn't want anything. And you're starting to get frustrated. What is that?
Not truth.
Not truth. See? And so that's what he's asking us to do at this point, is just start to see everything as truth or not truth, and don't think of it in any other way. Right? It's just truth or not truth. End of story. So, everything that you experience within the dream of the world comes from one of two sources: the thinking mind, which is the mask of separation, or the Holy Spirit, which is the true desire of the heart. Every thought, every feeling, every belief that you seem to live by, and every image that you seem to see or hear speaks the thoughts of one source or the other. Your role is to discern the source of the thought, feeling, belief, or image, and then decide if you will accept what it teaches based upon the source. So again, we're talking about the millionaire's son. One of the stories was he killed his friend, and he admitted that he killed his friend. He said he shot his friend in self-defense, but then he chopped him up, put him in garbage bags, threw him in a lake or the ocean or something, right? You guys remember this story? And then it all came back up, and he went to trial, and he got off on self-defense. We could go into the next thought, what do you think of that? Do you really think it was self-defense? But if I do that, am I following this advice? No. So if I ask you, what do you think of that, what are you going to say? It's not a reflection of truth.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
Right? This is what we're asked to do. And if you can do that, you're going to be letting go of a lot of opportunity for opinions, forming new beliefs, reinforcing old beliefs. I think it's not a reflection of truth. That's not a reflection of truth. Oh, that is a reflection of truth. Oh, that's not a reflection of truth. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's just very, very concise thinking.
Do you think, we've been studying this for 3 years, say somebody just walked into the class now and they're doing this, and so they're put upon themselves, I don't want to say put upon, but they're trying to do this, without all this background that we've had, is it difficult for somebody to be able to tell themselves if it's truth or untruth?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if they've been studying something very similar, but if they haven't been, I think it would be very difficult. In fact, as you know, we've had a few visitors lately that have come because they saw my teaching elsewhere. Of course, there I was teaching exactly for that audience, and they were, really impressed. And so they came here, and they come once, and they don't come back. And I think that's why. I think we're too far into this. We're too advanced, and it's too difficult for them to join us at this point. And what has crossed my mind as a possibility, I'm not committing myself either way, is that when we finish here, I might start over again there at the very beginning with them, because there seems to be enough of them that are interested. But it's too difficult for them to join us now.
That's what I was
Yeah, we're too far into this to join us.
So. After the class, I'll tell you why I asked. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, so verses 4-6. We are of God, and so we have within us the inherent ability to recognize the source that comes from God and the source that teaches God is not. You must only feel within the presence of your awareness the message that you are considering now, and the feeling you know within will tell you which source you are considering now. So I'm going to use you again as Priscilla as an example, if you don't mind. So your mom's hollering at you in the middle of the night. You go check on her. She doesn't really need anything. You go back to bed. She's just starting to fall asleep. She calls you again. You go in there. She doesn't really need anything. You go back to bed. You start feeling frustration arising. Which source is this? It's easy, right? I mean, you don't even have to think about it. It's easy. You know exactly. The only mistake we make is we don't ask that question, right? That's the mistake. But if we ask the question, it's not hard to know the answer.
That's true.
And that's what this is saying.
Yeah.
You know, this is saying you know the answer. You just need to ask the question.
Yes.
Right? But it's not like you're going to have trouble figuring out.
Right.
You're not going to have trouble figuring it out.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You just need to ask the question. But just in case you do have trouble figuring it out, here's some examples. The feelings of peace, acceptance, trust, and joy witness to the true desire of the heart. For recognition of this desire brings forth the feelings of recognition. So, using Priscilla again, her mother's calling her. She goes in. She doesn't need anything. She goes back to bed. Her mother calls her. She doesn't need anything. She goes back to bed. Her mother calls her. She doesn't need anything. She goes back to bed. But she's accepting all of this as it's happening. Which source is that?
Truth.
Truth, yeah. And again, we know this, you know, we know this. Number 4. If a thought, belief, or image is not aligned with true desire, the feelings within will not be the feelings of recognition, which were the ones in the previous paragraph. They will be fearful feelings such as guilt, hatred, and the feelings of death. When these feelings are upon you, you are looking at a source that is not true. You may rejoice in the recognition that, because it is not true, you may simply lay it aside. Now that's funny, because I used to not believe that. In fact, I might not have believed it when this was written, because usually NTI was writing above my present acceptance. I used to think that if I was frustrated, you know, at the fact that something kept happening and it was going nowhere, if I was frustrated, that somehow it was dishonest just to lay it aside, because the honest truth was I was frustrated. You know, like it would be a lie just to lay it aside. But that was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lie. The truth is, anything that is not a reflection of truth, you can just change your mind about and lay it aside. You're going to say, you know what, I don't want this frustration anymore. And you can lay it aside in whatever way you can. I've talked to a lot of people lately that what they do is they say, Holy Spirit, I don't want this frustration anymore. And they hand it to the Holy Spirit. And I did that for a time as well. I remember doing that for years. Right now, if I notice, you know, that I'm in a state of mind that is not a reflection of truth, when I notice it, I can just change my mind. I can just say, you know what, I don't want that. And it's just like, I tell people, it's just like there's a menu in my town at this one restaurant where one of the things on the menu is chicken gizzard soup. And like I look at the chicken gizzard soup and I know I don't want that, right? It's not, I don't have to fight with it or anything. I can look at things that are not a reflection of truth in me, and it's like chicken gizzard soup now. It's like, I just don't want that. And so I can just lay it aside. So whether you have to pray and give it to Holy Spirit to let go of it, or whether you can just change your mind about it, doesn't matter. Either way.
Yeah. As long as you don't suppress it. And sometimes there can be a fine line between suppressing it. And
how do you know when you're suppressing?
There's a judgment, for one thing.
Yeah.
I would say the judgment that comes with it. And
yeah. Yeah, a judgment. Like, I'm not supposed to be thinking this. Yeah. That kind of a judgment.
Right, something like that. Or I just don't want to go there.
Yeah, I just don't want to go there. Yeah, yeah. I remember there was a long, long time where I used to go through a period of first saying, I acknowledge this. And I think that was to break the habit of repressing.
Yeah. I remember you had the habit of saying, I see that
or
thought.
Or I see that thought, yeah. Or I see that thought, yeah. Or I acknowledge this feeling. Yeah, I acknowledge this feeling or I see that thought. Or I used to say, I accept this feeling as how I feel now. But I would verbally acknowledge it in one way or another, because in acknowledging it,
you're not suppressing
it. I didn't repress it.
And you can lay it down
Because you've already acknowledged it. Yeah, so that might be helpful if you find that you're still, you know, like, and you can feel if you repress, it often starts with some kind of a, you know, like, that's not supposed to, you know, there's a rejection of it. It's not supposed to be. Well, it is, you know. Whenever we say something's not supposed to be, that's another lie, because it is.
It's resistance.
Yeah, it's resistance. It is. It is. It is here. It is what it is. So, and then this is even saying, you can rejoice when you see something that does not reflect truth, because you don't have to listen to it. You can rejoice. I'm so glad I saw that. Now I know I don't have to listen to it. I can just pass it away. Oh, I'm so glad I saw that. Now I can pass that on. Oh, I'm so glad I saw that. Because, you know, something you don't see, you're not going to let go of. In non-awareness, it thrives. So if you do see it, that's great news, because now you can change your mind about it, or give it to the Holy Spirit, or do whatever you do to let go of it. So you can always rejoice that you see something. Be grateful that you saw it.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that paragraph again, starting with sentence 4. If a thought, belief, or image is not aligned with true desire, the feelings within will not be the feelings of recognition. They will be fearful feelings, such as guilt, hatred, and the feelings of death. When these feelings are upon you, you are looking at a source that is not true. You may rejoice in the recognition that, because it is not true, you may simply lay it aside. The awareness of God looks on nothing that is false, so all that is false need not be looked on by you. Now, although these words could be misinterpreted that you can repress, that's not what it means. By looked on, in this case, it literally means believed. You know, you just don't have to, you can see right through it. You know, you don't have to believe it. Remember I told you that I used to, you know, like if I was frustrated or angry at someone, I didn't think I could just pass it off because I thought that that was dishonest. This is saying you can just pass it off. You don't have to hold on to it. I remember David Hoffmeister once talking about playing hot potato. He'd say, you know, when you look at a thought, you don't have to look at it for hours and hours and hours. You look at it, you acknowledge it, and then you pass it on like it's a hot potato. All right? I mean, you do want to acknowledge it and look at it so you're not repressing it, but you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours looking at it. You say, okay, I see what that is. Don't want that. Pass it on. You know, like, do you remember the little game of hot potato? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, the alarm would go off and you pass it as quick as you can we had a little plastic hot potato with a little alarm. And you want to pass it before the alarm goes off, because you didn't want to be the one holding it when the alarm went off, right? So you do that. Look at your thought, pass it on. Look at your thought, pass it on as quickly as you can. Verses 7 to 12. Love is all that there is. This is a fact that you may put your faith in. When any thought that does not feel like love... Oh, I think my book... Does your book say something different?
No.
When any thought that does not feel like love, you may put it aside as false. Is that what your book says?
Mm-hmm.
When any thought... Oh!
There's no that.
There's no that. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I don't know why I was putting a that there. I don't have a that either. Okay, when any thought does not feel like love, You may put it aside as false. You may, this says, you may, you can, it's okay. Thoughts that are not love are thoughts such as these: lack, limits, competition, victimhood, personhood, strife and fighting, sickness, death, rage and sorrow, helplessness, hopelessness, control, and loss, just to name a few. Now, how many of those thoughts have you held on to for a really long time and not played hot potato with? A lot of them, huh?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, you look at that list and you say, oh, there's a lot of things there I have not been playing hot potato with. Yeah, we've been holding on to them. Why? You know, why do we hold? Do these look like fun things?
Because we believe them and we're addicted to them.
Yeah. I mean, they're not fun things, right? That's not why we're holding on to them. I can't see a single thing in that list that's fun. And so again, we can let go of them because they're just not true. And we're being asked again to play hot potato with them. Let go of them as soon as we notice them. So a thought of competition shows up. I feel that feeling of I got to compete with my friend here. And I say, ah, just let that go. You know, whatever's going to happen here is going to happen here. And that's great. See, that's a thought that reflects truth. Mm-hmm. Whatever's going to happen here is going to happen here. And that's great. I don't have to compete with anyone. Right? So, just pass those thoughts off and shift into a right-minded thought. Starting with sentence 5. These are thoughts that imply separateness, and separateness is illusion. So these thoughts and thoughts that seem like them are not the thoughts of love. They are false thoughts of illusion. God is love, and love is everything. The thoughts of everything are these: acceptance, joy, gratitude, peace, and welcome. So, let's see if we can think of an example, other than picking on Priscilla's story again. Competition. I'm right now Awakening Together is kind of chartered with raising money to create a retreat center here in Pueblo. Let's say that there's a similar organization just in Denver, not far away. A lot of the same people listen to both, right? Because it's very similar. You know, like one day they listen to me and Awakening Together, and the next day they're listening to this person, and you know, they listen to both, and these people decide to start a retreat center just south of Denver. And thoughts start showing up, oh no, who's going to get their money? Me or those guys up in Denver, right? Well, that's a thought I can let go of, and I can, well, I mean, any one of these I can accept that, you know, actually the one I'm drawn to right now is I want to welcome the fact that, you know, God is putting two retreat centers in Colorado really close to each other. And maybe we're going to end up being some kind of a joyous family who gets together in the middle sometimes, you know. I think I would rather trade in my competition for welcome. That sounds, and that feels, can you feel the change even though mm-hmm. I'm the one making up the story? Can you feel the difference between the competition and the welcome? So you could literally, you know, keep 1 John chapter 4, and when you notice that you're feeling one of these feelings, you could come and do what I just did, scan this list and say, well, you know what, I feel like taking gratitude feels good to me. I can trade in this sickness, these thoughts of this sickness for gratitude that I get to rest this week, physically rest, you know? I have a cold, I don't have to have thoughts of sickness. I mean, the body may be sick, but I don't have to have thoughts of sickness. Oh, I'm sick. I can have gratitude. Wow, I get a week of rest. You know, and you can literally just come and trade your thoughts, and you'll feel the shift in energy immediately, as soon as you trade your thought. Verse 10 says, There is no resistance in love, because love is everything, and everything cannot be resisted by that which it is. Notice in acceptance, joy, gratitude, peace, welcome, there's no resistance. When I was in competition with my imaginary friends in Denver who were also starting a retreat center, that was actually resistance. I was resisting the fact that they were also starting a retreat center. When I shifted to welcome, there was no resistance, right? It just died. Verses 13 to 16. God cannot be denied fully because God is the truth that is at the core of you. To deny God is to deny yourself, and this cannot be denied fully, because to deny it fully would be to deny existence. Existence cannot be denied because it is. Look at this and know your salvation is at hand. Existence cannot be denied because it is. This is the truth that sets you free. In accepting this thought, which cannot be denied in any present moment, you accept that God is and you are one with God. In this thought, you accept yourself and you do it with the joy of recognition. So this is actually teaching something very advanced that I'm certain I did not understand when I was writing in TI. So let's say I'm having hopelessness. For some reason, something is happening. You know, all of the schools that Jasmine has applied to, none of them are offering any financial assistance. I have to do this all on my own. I'm like, oh, how am I going to do this? I'm feeling very hopeless. How am I going to get my daughter through college? Very, very hopeless. This is saying right then, right there, I can stop and notice I am. Right then, right there, I can go from hopelessness to I am. Because that's always, 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 always true. You know, so I don't even have to carry 1 John around with my little list of words and see which word I want to trade in for, you know, like welcome and acceptance and joy and gratitude and peace. I don't have to remember those words. It can be simpler than that. I can always just shift into noticing I am. And you can get very, very good at that. And when you get very, very good at that, the drama of life appears to be a show that you're watching, because somehow your attention, I don't know how to explain this except to say that it's true, your attention shifts to the I am. So it's like you're the spectator of what the body and the personality are doing rather than the body and the personality itself. And again, you can shift to I am at any time, no matter what's happening. I don't care how strong the drama is, because it's true. Now, some people might say, none of you guys are, so that's nice, but some people might say, well, what about when you're dead? Well, I would say two things to that. First of all, if you're dead, if there is such a thing as death, when you're dead,
you're not there.
You're not there, so. And if there is something beyond what we call death, then guess what? You can notice I am, right? It's one or the other, you know, so there's no sense in arguing this, you know, and I love the story, the other story that's been in the news lately. It's been in the news a lot, because a lot more than it needs to be. I think just because the anchors love the story so much about the little girl who was rescued last week, and the rescuers heard somebody calling from the car, please help us, please help us. Have you heard that story? Apparently, I don't know how, but they went off a bridge or something, the mother and the baby, and the car was upside down, and they were both seat belted in. The mother was, since the car was upside down, her head was submerged in the water and she drowned. The baby, though, being smaller, was just kind of hanging from the car, but her head was not low enough to be in the water. They were there 14 hours, the mother dead, the baby just hanging there, and somebody saw the car, called the rescuers. They came, and as they got out of their car and were starting to walk towards the car, they heard an adult female voice yell, help us, please help me, help us. And so this really lit the fire in them, and they rushed over and, you know, wanting to really save these people inside the car. They got the energy and they turned the car over, and the baby was in there alive, but the woman had been dead for hours. And the rescuers, to this day, they're still in the news. It's like 2 weeks later, and they're like, you know, we don't know where we heard that voice.
Oh, my goodness.
Does anybody have a theory as to what that voice was? I have a theory. I don't know if it's true, but do you have a theory?
The mother.
The mother. Any mother knows that. She may have been dead, but she wasn't dead. And she wasn't about to leave when that baby was still alive, right? The mother was dead, but she wasn't dead. You see? Now, unfortunately, this mother was not enlightened, right? And so she was still very afraid and thinking her baby's going to die and not stopping to notice, wait a minute, I'm not dead. So if my baby dies, she's not going to be dead either. You know, I mean, not noticing that. But this is saying at any time, even when we're dead, we can stop and notice, I am. It's always true. You know? I mean, think about the insanity, and it's okay, it's a normal insanity, but think about the insanity of the woman thinking, I'm dead and she's not. If you can think, I'm dead, are you dead? No. Absolutely not. So this is saying this is always, always, always true, no matter what's going on, no matter how dire the situation seems to be, stop, notice, I am. Right? Because it's always, always true. Okay, I'll read that again just because that's so fun. Look at this and know your salvation is at hand. Existence cannot be denied because it is. This is the truth that sets you free. In accepting this thought, which cannot be denied in any present moment, you accept that God is and you are one with God. In this thought, you accept yourself and you do it with the joy of recognition. Eckhart Tolle talks about when you are dying, when you're going through that transition, to stay with the I am. Yeah, as you go through, notice that you aren't dying, right? Notice I am, I am, I am. Oh, I still am. Right? I am, I am, I am.
Cheryl Valentine was trying to stay alive through the transition,
yeah,
wasn't she?
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I know she talked about that earlier. I don't know how it was in the end. But I know earlier that was her main focus. I am, I am, I am was her main focus.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Starting with 9. Now that you have accepted yourself, follow yourself home to the full and complete awareness that is God. And that's a super advanced sentence that I definitely did not understand when I was writing NTI, but I do understand now. When you realize I am, and you shift from thinking you are this person to the eternal I am, there's actually more than that. Shifting to the eternal I am is like shifting to the sunbeam. And then you can follow the sunbeam back, right? So a lot of people think that the I am is the awakened truth. And in fact, that is a first awakening. There's no doubt about that. It's not the same as being a person anymore when you shift to the I am. But when you shift to the I am, there's an entire sunbeam to travel back, right? So that's what this is saying. Now that you have accepted yourself, follow yourself home to the full and complete awareness that is God. In this way, love is made complete, not within reality, for in reality love is always complete, but in this way, love is made complete within your own awareness. And when love is complete within your awareness, there is no awareness that is not love. Fear disappears within the awareness of love, because within the awareness of love, there is also the knowledge that there can never be anything to fear. Now let's go back to our imaginary story, because we're making it up a little bit about the woman and the baby. If this woman had been enlightened, maybe she still would have hung out with the baby, right? And maybe she still would have called the workers over, but maybe there wouldn't have been fear in her voice. Maybe there would have been certainty that this is what was to happen and this was her role, and once she saw it through, she would leave. Because this says, When you know the truth, there's nothing to fear. You know, you don't fear anything. You may still play your role in whatever way. I mean, in fact, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's role was to fight a war and kill people, right? But nothing to fear, because he knows the truth. This weird, you know, there's nothing to fear because you know what is truth, and what is truth for you is what is truth for everyone. And this world is not true, and that is not just an intellectual idea, right? That's an actual knowledge. So there's nothing here that can harm you. There's nothing here that can harm anyone. There's nothing here that can separate you from anyone. There's nothing here that can separate you from God. You have realized the constant truth of what you are. And that changes everything. Right? That just changes everything. So again, verse 18, fear disappears within the awareness of love, because within the awareness of love, there is also the knowledge that there can never be anything to fear. We love because we are love, and love is all that we are capable of. And again, this is pointing back to even the stories of the world that do not appear to be love are love, because they're not coming from separation, they're coming from oneness. True, they're coming from, you could call it wrong-minded oneness, right? But it's still oneness. It's oneness playing a game that oneness must want to play. And so it's all love. And at some point you come to see it as all love, and therefore you can be in acceptance of everything that you see, because you see it truly. To love God is to know God, and to know God is to love all things, because all things come from God, which is love. To not love is to believe falsehood. This is merely misperception, since all that is all that is, and all that isn't never was. So, it is a great chapter. And by the way, I don't know for sure. I mean, I want to just say that I was definitely making up a story about the mother and the baby. I don't know for sure that it was the mother, the voice, nor do I know for sure that the mother was in fear. Maybe when the mother said, come help us, maybe she wasn't. I don't know anything. But I wanted to share the made-up story to illustrate the teaching. Yeah. So I think that we have two possible assignments. One possible assignment is if we notice that we are caught up within ourselves in something that's not the reflection of truth, you know, like lack, limits, competition, victimhood, et cetera, et cetera. We could carry around a piece of paper that has the words acceptance, joy, gratitude, peace, and welcome written on it, pull them out, and see which one jumps out at us is what we want to trade in for. Or we could just practice noticing I am. Or we could write I am on the paper, and maybe sometimes we pick I am and sometimes it feels better to pick, you know, gratitude. What do you guys want to do?
I think one that's very easy is this is true and this is untrue.
Oh, so you want to just do that. That's a good idea too. Just notice this is true, this is not true. Does that sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that then. Okay, we'll do that. So, you know, whenever you remember to notice, this is a reflection of truth, this is not a reflection of truth, and stick with that. So so I heard that there was this preacher in Atlanta. He has this huge church. I think he has like 30,000 people that come to his church, and that's not his only church. He has churches all over the country. And, you know, churches don't have to report their financial information. Did you know that? And so this guy takes in, well, they say he took in $39 million in 1 year. And they're really starting to look at him now, because when you take in money as a church, you're supposed to be spending the money in a ministry type of way. But he lives in this huge lavish house and has Rolls Royces and now wants to buy a $36 million private jet. What do you think of that, Dan?
It's misguided.
Not a reflection of truth. Yeah, I was testing you. Not a reflection of truth. Boom. That way your mind doesn't have to get into what you think of it, right?
Right.
It's your way out.
Yeah.
It's not a reflection of truth. And then you just tell the person, I don't know, I don't have an opinion on that.
It's a black and white. It's black and white. It's easy.
It's easy. It's not a reflection of truth. Yeah. And then you can just, and if you pay any attention to that, you'll also notice that if you're straining for an opinion, I mean, most people that have an opinion don't even notice the strain for an opinion, but there is one. At some point you start to notice, okay, what do I think? Like there's a strain for an opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just say that's not a reflection of truth, you'll notice you're free of that strain, right? You're instantly free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will be our assignment then. It's either a reflection of truth or not a reflection of truth. My part is done. So we'll have a little bit of silence now.